Congregation, I prepared a Tory sermon this morning and I had to find a text. A text about preparatory. What type of text? I struggled with that. Had a hard time this week to find a text. What do I preach about? What do I want to talk about? Of course, something about true faith, saving faith, so that the congregation would know. Is it right? Is it well with my soul? May I attend, yes or no, to give clarity on that true saving faith? It needs to be about believing. I know that. I also think about people that do not dare to attend. Are in trouble, stirred in their hearts, sad, overwhelmed, convicted, impossible for me to attend. Those poor ones, those needy ones, my heart goes out to them, to draw them to the table in the Lord's favor. It's my desire. I also knew there is sometimes a hang-up. Sometimes in God's heart, the people in God's people's heart, something they cannot get over. This something sitting not right. They believe in God, but sometimes the Lord Jesus can be yet so hidden. We like to show them more of Christ. That's the only hope. That is the Lord's Supper about. Not only about God, also about Christ. Or sometimes there can be that feeling of there is no room for me. There's no place for me. There's no chair for me. All those chairs are for God's people, not for me. Think about those things. The text came to my mind about believing and being troubled and there being room. John 14. Verses 1 and 2. They're about the disciples and about heaven, but also there's a line to the Lord's Supper. 1 and 2 of chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You may say, Reverend, that text is not about the Lord's Supper. I know. And yet there are lines. Let not your heart be troubled. Those that believe in God, but must believe more in Christ. Because there is place for you, not only in heaven, also at the table, reserved place. The theme, room for troubled believers. Four thoughts. Spiritual trouble. Let not your heart be troubled. What type of troubles are there? And what is this in particular? And what is it this morning? And what is it in your heart? Being troubled. Spiritual trouble. Believing in God is the second thought. Ye believe in God, it says, right? What is that? Do you? Do you really believe in God? Secondly, believing in Christ. Believe also in me, the Lord Jesus said, inviting the church to believe also in him, to focus on him, to see more in him, the second person. And in the fourth place, enough room. In my Father's house are many mansions. Congregation, first a warning. Let not your heart be troubled. Your. Who is that? Can I go to the street and talk randomly to people and say, hey, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions for you as well. Can I say that to just anyone, let not your heart be troubled? Can I say that to the attenders this morning, the church service this morning? Can I say, don't be troubled, don't worry. Don't worry anymore. Just believe it's fine. You're well. Let not your heart be troubled. Some people support that. And they say, yes, tell everyone in church, don't be troubled. You're baptized. You're a covenant child. It's well with you. You just have to believe that. But you know, I connect this verse to the previous chapter. Actually, I don't connect that. It is connected. At chapter 13 is the Lord Jesus talking to his disciples in that upper room, on that second floor, on that Thursday evening, that he warned his disciples that one of them will betray him. That he would suffer, that he would leave, that one of them would deny him before the rooster, before the cock crows. He will have denied him thrice. So he spoke to those disciples, and chapter 14 goes right into that. Let not your heart be troubled. Troubled. I looked it up, I researched the word trouble. It means stirring, agitate, stirring it all up. It begins to stink, it's dangerous. There are waves, stirring waves, to stir things up. That's the word. And there are much outward troubles, right? Outwardly, because our sins in this life, in this world, is much trouble. Job talks about it. A man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. We all experience afflictions, trouble, that our lives are agitated. The Lord is stirring our lives. It's messy. It's troublesome. For all his days are sorrows, and his travail is grief. Yea, his heart taken not rest in the night. This is also vanity. Lots of it. Man born of a woman is born unto trouble. Even God's children. Like Job, like Asaph, right? You know of Asaph as well. Asaph, Psalm 73, verse 14. What a trouble he experienced. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning, all the day, every day. It's hard. Many consequences of sin. But you know, that's not what it is in our text. Let not your heart be troubled, to be stirred in your heart. Not only the circumstances are stirring and agitated, but it affects my heart. Let not your heart be troubled, that it's all stormy inside. And as I said before, the disciples felt already troubled in their hearts because of the Lord Jesus told them. He told them in the previous chapter about the denial and about betraying him and about leaving. And the Lord Jesus cared for those 11 men sitting around the table. He loved them and he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Oh, he knew that they will be troubled even more as he is going to suffer in the garden, as he will be delivered unto Pontius Pilate, as the people say, "Crucify him, crucify him," as he will die on the cross. Their hearts will be so troubled. And the Lord Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Stop it. Stop being so troubled. But you know, in a sense, it's also a blessing if people are beginning to feel troubled. Because maybe some of you this morning don't feel troubled at all. I'm fine. Everything goes reasonably well in your life. But you know, when the Lord comes with his Spirit, there's trouble. He stirs your heart. You see that you have sinned against God. There is conviction. There are doubts. There is darkness. The remaining sins. And also God's children, they are in trouble. "Men, brethren, what shall we do?" Oh, that's the effect of the Holy Spirit. And also regarding the Lord's Supper, can be a troublesome week or days, situations. I cannot attend. I have no freedom. Troubled. And trouble because of sins rise up against us. And you see those mountains. You have tried to save yourself. It is so impossible. And you have attended before those remaining sins. And there is trouble. Absolute spiritual trouble in the heart. "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, so dry, so dead, so impossible, due to slackness, bosom sins." That is your love, that is that zeal, that is that sweetness and that passion, and it can be that all has disappeared. Previously, sometimes good times in God's house and at the Lord's Supper table, and it has disappeared. I cannot attend anymore. I decide it's over now. I can't do this anymore. I remembered God, Psalm 73. I remembered God, yes. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. See? Still happens. "Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak." God's children, so troubled, they can't speak, they can't attend, they keep their mouth shut, overwhelmed. Or Psalm 90, "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled." Feeling something of God's anger, God's wrath, that troubles you. Psalm 104, "Thou hidest thy face, they're troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to the dust." See, trouble. Outwardly, for the disciples, for God's people, regarding the Lord's Supper, no assurance. I'm afraid to eat and drink, damnation to myself. I don't want to deceive myself. I'm also afraid of people. Afraid of people? Trouble can really play a role. Let me elaborate on that. Fear of men being in trouble. I read in Isaiah 5, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of man that shall die? Man that shall die. Why being afraid of people? Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, need be afraid of their revilings. Let not your heart be troubled. What people say is not so important. Troubled. Spiritual trouble. First thought. Let not your heart be troubled. Your heart, whose heart? Ye that believe in God. Ye believe in God. If you believe in God, let not your heart be so troubled then. You believe in God. Actually, in the original, it also can be translated as a command. Believe in God. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in Him. You do believe in Him, continue to believe in God. You believe in Him, continue to believe in God. Believing. What is that? The devils believe too. King Herod believed as well. You're not saved, right? The angels are really, the devils rather, are really convinced of the Bible, of the truth, of Jesus, of divinity, of the Trinity, of all those things. They knew the Bible so well, and they believe it. But they are not saved. And people can know it so well, so terribly well, and not being saved. People can have emotions. And be stirred in their emotions and missing the choice of heart. So let me just try to elaborate a little bit on that. What is that? You believe in God. Now, first of all, if you believe in God, then God exists. That He is existing anyway. Yes. But He begins to exist. Becomes such a reality. So true. You feel He is everywhere. Looking at you. Checking you out. His eyes upon you. And you are separated from Him. And He is real. And previously you may have forgotten about Him. He didn't play a role really. But when the Lord opens your eyes and gives you that faith, He is God. He is God. He made everything. He spared me. He has given me life. He is such reality. You can't escape anymore. God becomes God. In His majesty, being omnipresent, almighty, holy, you highly esteem Him, you fear Him, you don't feel close to Him, you wonder if He can be close to you, and you are a lost person, without God in the world. You feel so poor and so needy, because you believe in God. That's not a historical faith, that's a saving faith. Really, God exists, and you have sinned against Him. I heard of a Jewish scientist raised in New York in a Jewish Orthodox community, always went to the synagogue every Saturday. And in all those years he went there, never heard it mentioned once. What? Sin. Never heard about talking about sin. Never heard about it. You're fine. You don't murder anyone. You're good people. And then someone told him about sin, and it began to dawn on him that even sinful thoughts exist, and he became a lost person. You begin to believe that God exists and that you have provoked him to anger. You believe that. You're in trouble. Really in trouble. Your heart is agitated and stirred. Let not your heart be troubled, or your heart is troubled. You try to get close to God. You try to win God's favor. You do your best. You begin to perform better. You try to please God. And it doesn't work. And it becomes worse and worse and worse. And there's so much of that trouble. You believe in God. Oh, absolutely. You believe in that you have sinned against him. You believe that you are a sinner. And you begin to pray like the Apostle Paul saw yet. Begin to pray. Look, he prayeth. Begin to pray. It becomes a prayer in faith, speaking to, conversing to someone who exists and is the Holy One of Israel. You call upon his name. Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. You begin to read the Bible because there's a great need in your heart because you believe in God. You believe in his word. And you try to absorb it, to understand it, and find a way of salvation through the word. You begin to listen in church. You haven't listened before. You begin to listen because you believe in God. Things have changed. You begin to long, and to hunger, and to hope, and to wait. And you believe in God, in his word. And sometimes you hear the possibility of being saved. You can't believe what that does to the heart. That you just feel some hope. That can be saved yet. There's a way of salvation. A possibility from the Lord's side. Not from my side. Oh, you believe in God. In his wonders. In the possibility. Or you believe in God, you believe in his invitation. You remember maybe that sermon, that Bible chapter, that you for the first time felt invited and called upon. The Lord didn't only talk to others, but to you. He spoke to you. He called you by your name. He mentioned your circumstances. You felt addressed by the Lord. You believe in God, invited. You couldn't believe it. Such a vile sinner being invited to come to the Lord. Or you came on your knees. You confessed your sins. You laid it all before the Lord. You just poured it all out. All your sins committed against the holy and good-doing God. You believe in God, that's why you pour out your heart before him. Oh, you saw there was a way of salvation. Room in the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You must believe in him. That's the only solution. It is not doing something. It is not meriting something. it is not pleasing God that our emotions and experiences, although it's never without, but it is that simple. Ye believe in God, in His promises, in salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord does not only give it by His Spirit, He also encourages that people, and He tells the disciples, stop worrying, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. Now do you? I have tried to summarize a little bit what that true believing entails. Does that resonate? Does that speak to your heart? You say, yes, I believe in God. He spoke to me. It became reality. It became so serious, so meaningful, so sweet, so important, so precious. You believe in God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's only by faith you believe in God. If you truly believe in Him, and you'll also see it in the third thought later on, in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you truly believe in Him, if you believe in Him, whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, having lost everything. Not being able to pay the price at all, having no money, having only sins and only everything that testifies against you. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Third thought, believe also in me. Believing in Christ. What's the difference? You believe in God, believe also in me. What does the Lord want to tell the disciples? Believe in God? Is that not enough? And believe also in me now? And the first thing that becomes really clear in this chapter is that God is triune. That the Lord Jesus is divine Himself. So believing in God is very close to believing in Christ. Believe also in me. Because He is given by God. He is the Son of God. He is the Emmanuel, the God with us. But you know, many of God's children can relate to this, if not all. It does not begin with Christ. It begins with God, right? Although a sermon on Good Friday about the cross can be the blessing, can be applied, can be the means, of course it's possible. In that sense, salvation can begin with Christ. But what I mean is, when the Lord opens the door, opens the word, then you see your sins, you see that God is holy, and you don't begin to rejoice. But the Lord makes room for Christ. He makes room for the Lord Jesus, for His Son, for the Lamb of God, taking away the sins of the world. Do you believe in Christ also? You have been comforted, maybe, by those Old Testament texts. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon Him. And you wait more than they watch for the morning. You have had received comfort from a text like, there is forgiveness with Him. that he may be feared, and you sighed. But have you now also specifically believed in Christ? Because he is the Savior. He is that center point. He is the only name given among men by whom we must be saved. We shouldn't only believe in God in general, in being holy and forgiving and leading his people and giving assurance. It is believe also in me, disciples. Believe more in me. They believe him already, right? Believe more in him. John Calvin has a beautiful piece on this. So I just read that, and let me summarize and elaborate on that. See the Lord Jesus sitting there, laying there at the table, looking his disciples in the eyes. Believe also in me. In spite of all the trouble you have experienced and the disturbing thoughts you've heard and what the future will bring, believe also and more in me. The Lord Jesus holds himself out, Calvin says. He invites his church to believe in him. In him as the Savior. Look upon me. So that's what I would also like to say this morning to those troubled people. They believe in God. Believe in him, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that center point. He is that name. Believe in him. The Lord Jesus saying, believe in me. In me. He points to himself. Believe also in me. Well, John Calvin writes that this is the easiest means. What he means is, that's all you need. Not more, not less. As a poor sinner, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to go through that door, to seek your salvation only in him. Believe in him also. He is the true Emmanuel. Faith must be directed to him alone. To him alone, you say, that is so simple, but it is so true and so meaningful to only believe in him. Faith must be directed to him alone. You don't need anyone else and anything more but Jesus. Believe also in me. May that be the encouraging voice for God's people. To come out of their puny next week. Believe also in me. Calvin, not wandering through long windings. We take those roundabout ways, go all the way to the right and all the way to the left, and we wander and circle and go backwards. But there is a straight line unto him. Don't wander about. Don't look anywhere else. Believe also in me. That's the beeline to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe also in me. Don't wander about. Don't look anywhere else. There is nothing else that can help you but him. Believe also in me. Exclamation mark. Underlined in me. Not in you. In him. Or what is it that holds people back? To only believe in Him. Is there a pride? We don't want to be ashamed. It's so humbling. To have nothing. To only come with nothing. To the Savior. That's humbling. That is not good for our pride. We like to have something, to be someone, to present something, to please God. The Lord says, I don't have any use for that. Leave it. Keep it all at home. Believe also in me. Faith will never reach heaven unless it submits to Christ. To submit to the second person. If we have sinned against the triune God, there is only one Savior. That is Christ. To seek to submit yourself to Him. He is the only foundation. There is nothing else that can help you. Let not your heart be troubled. And the Lord Jesus is saying, look upon me, right? Also in me. And that's not new in Scripture. I am, he said, the good shepherd. Seek your salvation in me. Believe also in me as the good shepherd. Believe also me. I am the true bread. Believe also me. I am the living water. Believe also me. I am the only door. Believe also me. I am the vine. Believe also me. I am the bridegroom. Believe also in me. Oh, to rest more unreservedly on Him. Believe also in me. Even if you have seen something of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's more. Faith has levels, has gradations. Some have a weak faith, a strong faith. There's much in between. To now also lay hold more firmly on Him. Lord Jesus saying to His disciples, you believe in me. You believe in God. You believe in me. Believe more in me. Find more in me. Seek more in me. Believe more distinctly in me. Lean back more completely. Lay hold more firmly. I read in the same chapter, verse 27 and 29, something similar. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. And neither let be afraid. And I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. I hope you know what it is to be troubled. I hope you know what it is to believe in God. I hope you know what it is to believe also in Christ. That's what the Lord's Supper is about. It's about Christ. The Father has given Him. The Spirit takes out of Him to apply it. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord wants His church to focus more on Him, to drink more out of that particular fountain, to believe more distinctly in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Him being born. And not only born, also him suffering and dying, believe also in him. He is that only Savior. He is that only foundation. There is no other name given among men. So therefore, think about it. John 11. And Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. The Lord Jesus, he was troubled. So intensely troubled. Then Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in the spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. So troubled. So he does not want this church to be so troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, because I will be troubled. I will be so intensely troubled that you stop troubling. I've troubled enough. So what was the theme? Room for troubled believers. And we talked about spiritual trouble and believing in God and believing in Christ. Now the fourth thought, enough room. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. What is it about? In my Father's house are many mansions. Mansions. That's an old word. And right now, mansion means a big house, right? Not in those days. Mansion was just an abiding place, a dwelling place, a place. In my Father's house are many places. My Father's house is big. There's lots of room. It's a huge house. My Father's house has many places, lots of room. No mansions in a house, right? My Father's house, many mansions. Now, in my Father's house, some say apartments or suites. I don't know. Just in my Father's house is a lot of room. And the Lord Jesus is comforting his disciples. They go through difficult times. They hear disturbing news. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. You do believe in God. Believe also in me. And keep in mind, in my Father's house is a lot of room. There are many mansions. I prepare a place for you there. And you die, and your soul goes up, wherever it goes, they will not close the door on you. They will let you in. Because I prepare a place for you with my blood. I pray for you. If not, I would have told you. The Lord Jesus indicating, I have experience. I know this for sure. I have been there. I have been there. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, lots of room. I have been there. Otherwise, I would have told you, don't be so troubled. And what is so special then about being in this in the Father's house? To have communion. Right? Communion. Fellowship with God, to be home, to be really home and feel at home and be at home with all of God's people together, the angels with God, having peace in the heart, glorifying the Lamb, glorifying God. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, I won't turn you down. and nobody can. I prepare a place for you. I gave my blood. I gave my very life. I gave myself to my Father. I paid the price. I am the advocate at the right hand of the Father. I ascend into heaven. It's all finished what I do. Don't worry. There is room. Lots of room. And the Lord's Supper next week is something of a foretaste of that. Of that Father's house. It's an analogy. It's similar. It's a picture of heaven. And the Lord Jesus will be there. Right? In my Father's house, many mansions, all of us have told you, I prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, whether I am, that ye may be also. So the Lord Jesus has prepared a place for God's people in heaven, but also at the table next week. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. At the table are many chairs. I have reserved one for you. And if one table is filled, there's another table. There's enough room. As many tables as you want. As many people as can sit there. There's lots of room, but only for those that should not be troubled anymore. Because they believe in God, and they also believe in Him. He has prepared a place for you. Don't leave that chair empty. Don't let your heart be so troubled. You have so many things against you. All things against you, child of the Lord. It testifies all against you. You don't have enough this and that and such and so on. And Satan is plaguing you and making life difficult for you. Oh, my Father's house. He is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also the Father of all His people. He is our Father. He has adopted His church as His children, and He has that home for them to be there together one day, to be glorifying Him, but now also to glorify Him at the table. Also having fellowship and communion and to be at home at a table. To have peace at a table. To taste what the Lord gives. There can be that fear. The fear of men. The fear of deceiving myself. I know. All those fears. But you know, the Lord knows about all that. The Lord knows that all those fears and all that anxiety and all the stress and a week of preparation, it is overwhelming sometimes. And that's why the Lord Jesus told the disciples in similar circumstances, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled this week. And at the Lord's Supper table next week. Let not there be trouble. You believe in God, don't you? Do you? I mean, do you believe in God? Believe also in Him? The Lord Jesus Christ, have you seen Him? Has He revealed Himself to you? Have you found Him? The Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Bread of Life? Or then, don't worry, He has prepared a chair for you, a place for you. A text referring to heaven, but also the Lord's Supper table. And of course, a text that also speaks to them dying. Someday you must die, right? I have to. It's going to happen. Unless the Lord Jesus would come back before that. Or may this text also be that comfort then. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house is room. Are many dwelling places, much room, many mansions. Otherwise I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. May the Lord give us that life and that death. Seek him and live. Amen. O Almighty God, may it please thee to apply the word to those troubled people. They cannot lift themselves up. They cannot help themselves. They feel so unworthy. They cannot attend the Lord's Supper. They're lost people. But they cannot deny that faith in God, he became so real. And they've seen something of the Lord Jesus Christ. So may they receive more of him and lean heavier on him and be more directed to him. Believe also in me and give thy people the freedom also next week to yet attend in spite of everything that testifies against them. Be mindful of this week, this day, bring safely back home to thy house again. Also bless the consistory meeting. In Jesus' name alone, amen.